Not long ago, I made some wooden swords for Jude and for Jesse, and it reminded me of being a boy. My father made me some swords, too. And I remember slipping into a pretend world, chasing goblins in Mother's yard. Except it wasn't Mother's yard. It was a kingdom, a vast kingdom, and I was on an errand from the king. And I could see the kingdom vividly then. I could see the look on the goblins' faces, and I could hear the sound of my companions as I journeyed with them. I lived there in that kingdom for hours, or at least until dinner time. Jesse was outside the other day, and he was chasing something that I could not see, but he could, and vividly so. I could tell by the way that he was slashing at it with his sword and blocking attacks. And I remembered as I saw him how he and I, not long ago, had been playing a game just like he was doing. And I was good at it. I knew the game. I knew it well from childhood. But at this point in life, I struggled to see the kingdom as vividly as I once did. I couldn't see the faces of the goblins and hear the voices of my pretend companions like I used to be able to. But Jesse and Jude could. They could. I would say, "Look, seven skeletons with swords are coming." And they'd attack them with their swords, go right to them. I only felt a little bit of the story, but I played along. I did, however, feel something else as we played. My eyes kept looking around this way and that way, wondering what my neighbors were seeing. A grown man swinging a stick, shouting at the air. I wondered. What I felt was a little bit of fear. A little bit of fear of embarrassment. And this kept me from fully enjoying the game. I was bound. I was not free. And I could not see what I was once able to see. This morning we read a letter, part of a letter from St. Paul to the Corinthians. And Paul wrote how people come to see and believe in Jesus, the crucified one. For many, belief in Jesus was foolish, absolute foolishness. Paul spoke that Christ and his cross were the wisdom and the power of God, and that made no sense to so many. How does wisdom lead to a cross? How does power go to a cross? Yet Paul says that it's the cross, and it's in the cross that we see God's wisdom and his power in the full. And the Spirit of God comes within you and within me to see it, to make sense of it. Because of this Spirit, our mind becomes the mind of Christ. We truly, with the mind of Christ, are seeing the world differently than those around us. And this seeing is one thing, right? But knowing what to do with what you're seeing, adjusting to it, might be another. So imagine that you were blind, you were born blind perhaps, and then all of a sudden you could see. You'd be learning the colors, the texture of things. You'd be learning the distance things felt. Imagine that. And imagine the reverse of how you'd have to get used to seeing things in a different and a new way. That's how it is with us. We indeed have the mind of Christ. The Spirit of God is within you through the waters of baptism. We have the mind, we see, and yet sometimes we struggle to know what to make out of what we're seeing. So sometimes we see and we're filled with great joy. Say, for example, you watch a young child at recess. Their friend gets hurt and you watch the child race to their friend to help them out. And we think, wow, that's a lot like Jesus who comes to my aid. But other things cause us to pause. We're just not sure what to make of it right away. And one of those, if you're like me, was our Old Testament reading this morning. It went like this. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn. I read that, and I paused. Maybe you did too. What do you do? What do you do? And if you're like me also, when I first read that passage, I immediately thought of our context today in our nation with our president's executive order to halt immigration from a few countries, at least for a little while, and as well as wanting to build a wall down on the Mexico border. I thought immediately of those and I thought, whoa, what do we do? What do I do? It caused another pause, especially when I read this Isaiah reading. What do we do? Now I know some have struggled to support what the president has ordered and just outright reject it, just done. And others have tried to figure out the line between compassion and being available to others in need, as well as safety for our families. They try to figure out as best they can whatever that middle road might be. And then there are also others who undoubtedly use a policy like that to cover their deeply seated anxiety and fear of those who are not like them. Friends, as we navigate this world around us, we do have the mind of Christ. And the first thing that we discover as we're learning to see is that the mind of Christ is not a mind of fear. Fear paralyzes our hearts and it makes us further blind. And we consider Jesus. Jesus, in his moment of great fear, the cross was looming large and he was in the garden praying. And as he knew this, he placed himself into his Father's loving hands. He submitted himself to his Father's will and he went to the cross, all the way to the cross, for you and for me, trusting in his Father. So you and I, we are filled with the mind of Christ. We are led by God's Spirit, and we're being filled with that same faith that Jesus had, the faith that looked to the Father, looked and trusted the Father's love, and we too will let go of the fear that binds us. We'll learn to see from that mind of Christ. We will proclaim the compassion of God available to all, and we will proclaim him who provides for all of our safety. So therefore, dear friends, look to the cross, the source of wisdom, the source of God's power. Trust in a God who is gracious and merciful and compassionate. And as John writes in one of his letters, remember, perfect love, really God's love, casts out fear. Amen. Now may the Spirit of God guard your hearts and protect you both now and forever.